So, the awakened nature of the human is not something that's far off, some other place, some distant time. It's not more available to some than it is to others. The awakened nature of what we really are is intimately close. In Tibetan Buddhism, it said that what we really are, our free original nature, is too easy to believe. Because it's too easy to believe, it's easily overlooked. For a lot of different reasons, we can have an alignment to things about our life or the life that obscure our free, innocent, true nature. And we can take those alignments, we can take those ways of being to be the way it is or the way it has to be. So what I'd like to do now is I'd like to point out, just as we're sitting together here, without the need to think that I'm meditating, without the need to think that if I do this or I don't do that, I'm more available, without the, you might say, subtle or not so subtle conditioning that says to me, or you, or us, waking up, seeing beyond limitation, is a difficult thing, a challenging thing, or even an impossible thing. I would like to point some simple things out. Notice, without any effort, the ears hear sounds. Notice without any effort how the mind, brain can think. Notice the effortlessness of how the eyes can see. Notice how there need not be any trying to see. Eyes open, eyes see. If the eyes are closed, they still see, don't they? Notice how the body is just sitting. And one could think that there need be effort to sit, and sometimes it feels like there is. But even just for a moment, perhaps notice, the body is just sitting. Even deeper or more subtle, notice how the body can sit and be completely undisturbed. Sometimes the recognition of non-disturbance, non-distraction, gets overlooked because we're busy being disturbed and distracted. I somehow have gotten aligned or involved or caught up in being busy, distracted. And then the feeling of that can be there to varying degrees. And if that feeling is there enough, I might start looking for how to end it, how to come out of distraction, how to come out of disturbance, how to relax, how to let go. It's a very common experience that many humans have. This is different right now. What I'm pointing out is, notice the possibility of resting in non-disturbance, resting in non-distraction. If you look closely, you can see that the nature of the body actually is peaceful. That's its nature. That's not its only nature, but that's an aspect of its nature. Even for an instant, just notice how there need not be effort to breathe. Instead of turning it into a meditation, turning it into a technique, turning it into something to do, just notice how breath happens. There might be a moment of recognizing the breath is happening effortlessly. Guess what? When the breath is not being attended to, there are many moments where it's happening effortlessly, but it's unconscious. The pointing out is to see the nature of breathing as effortless clearly, or you could say consciously. Okay. What is it that sees everything I'm talking about? And I don't mean sees with the eyes. What is it that recognizes everything that's being pointed out? What is it that everything that's being pointed out is resting in? If you say the room, it's not quite right. What is the room resting in? What is the room resting in? It's resting in presence. It's resting in awareness. Now, notice how awareness is effortlessly present. Awareness is effortlessly present. And everything that's happening is happening in this awareness. The brain, or we, at times believe or think, I am aware. I am aware. And we even say that. I am aware of this, I am aware of that. We put that word, I, in very freely and easily and comfortably and conventionally. It's how we talk. I am aware. Watch this. I am aware is a thought that arises in awareness. See this right now. It's a very subtle shift. I am aware is the thought that arises in awareness. Let's go a little further. Let's say the I believes the thought, I am aware. That's a belief arising in awareness. Nothing is recognized without awareness. This is why the Tibetans say liberation is too easy to believe. It's too simple. It's so simple, it's overlooked. And if you watch the patterns of mind, we'll just take your so-called personal patterns of mind, you study those a bit, does it ever occur to you, well, what's all of that for? What are those patterns, those processes, those constructs, those conditions that are going round and round inside, whatever they might be, not to judge them, but just have a look. What's that all about? And for some of us, at times, it's very entertaining. We find the movie in the head, in the heart, in the body, between us. Very engaging, very interesting. Sometimes of deep concern. Something to work on, sort out, figure out. We can gauge quite a bit in it. Here's the shift. Awareness is the screen that everything happens on. The screen doesn't change. Hidden inside everything that's happening is this awareness that sees it. What we are is hidden inside change. And I'm not saying we aren't also change. There's two possibilities. You're lost in change, or you see change clearly. To use the word you, it's not quite right. Awareness sees change clearly. Once awareness is seen clearly as that which sees change, then the sense of what change is here for, that means the dance of life, shifts and shifts at times profoundly. That's why people say, nothing changed, yet everything changed. Blue is still blue, brown is still brown, bodies are still bodies, sofas are still sofas, and yet, that which sees change, which is the same thing that sees everything else, once that's recognized, then the imposition of change, which is what it is sometimes, the complication of change, which it is sometimes, the investment in change loosens or goes away altogether, because that which is hidden inside change appears. What's hidden inside change is what we really are, as much as we're also change. Let's be clear about that. So in a very real sense, we're everything, and we are no thing particular simultaneously. So watch this. When you go to the movies, and the movies start showing on the movie screen, how many of you spend the whole 2 hours focusing on the screen? Nobody. You don't even want to look at it for very long when there's nothing on it. You're talking, you're eating your popcorn, you're doing this, you're talking, you're thinking about something else, you're maybe doing your cell phone. Of course somebody's doing their cell phone. Texting. I like the people who can do it with one hand. You know, they don't even need to go like that. The buttons are so close together, somebody like me, you can't even see that they're distinguished. It's just like, what? Oh yeah, I can do that. Somebody's doing that. But then the movie comes on. Oh yeah, the movie comes on. This is why we came. We came for the movie, right? We paid for the movie. We came for the movie. Let's watch the movie. Wonderful. Watch the movie. Movie comes. Movie changes. Movie goes. Nobody stays around and stares at the blank screen when the movie's over. Movie's over. Turn the lights on. Time to walk out. Talking both metaphorically and literally right now. Once you see the screen that everything is playing on, once you see the background, foreground, space that everything is occurring in, it's not as if there's no more interest in the movie. There's simply not limitation to the movie. There's not contraction or restriction to just be the movie. I don't mean just watch the movie, I mean be the movie. And you know what that means. A good movie's got to go up and down, doesn't it? Back and forth, love and hate, loss and gain. Boy, they play the vicissitudes, don't they? Pleasure and pain. Oh yeah, got to get them both going. Can't just have pleasure. It's not a good movie. Got to have some pain, some loss, some gain. Happy, sad. Oh, now the heart's tugged and we've had a good movie. It was a good movie. It's a good film. And we'll talk about it for a while and then we'll forget about it and we'll have another good film. Nothing wrong with this. It'd be crazy to go, get rid of the movie, get rid of the film, no more movie. That would be sad for those in Hollywood. And for us, maybe. Can you imagine no more Oscars? Some of us would go, that'd be a relief. So, are we the movie? Are we the screen? Are we both? Is this an either-or world? It's either this or it's that. It's either here or it's there, or is it both and? What I'm saying is, as you begin to see the unfolding, at beautiful times, it's beautiful, nature of the movie, and the tragedy of the movie, not as better or worse, but just as the spectrum. Put it any way you want. And you don't close your eyes to that. You say, show me. I want to see the whole movie. Right here, I want to see the whole movie. I'm not going to avoid parts of the movie. And what happens spontaneously, you start to see through the movie. You see through the change, just like going through a cloud. Nothing wrong with the cloud. They're interesting, aren't they? Clouds are interesting. Go through the cloud and you see that which the cloud appears in. That's the screen. So don't limit the screen just to the movie theater, that square thing up there that's out in front. The screen is everywhere. Because that which is appearing in the space of everywhereness. Every single thing is happening in the everywhereness, unbounded everywhereness of truth. Does that help to put it in the movie theater for anybody? Just in terms of the nature of the screen. See, what some people do is they actually experience themselves as the screen. And then they try not to be involved in the movie at all. I don't do the movie. You know, I don't go to movies. I'm done with movies. And they become sterile and brittle and spiritually bypassed. And some of that juicy joy of passion can dry up. On the other hand, if the person says, well, it's all about juicy passion, it's all about connection, it's all about just desire and getting into the whole dance, they may never see the screen that it happens on. And if you don't see the screen that it all happens within or on, you will not see beyond change. And if you do not see beyond change, then you will, even while you may be liking change, enjoying change, the course of your life, you will be somewhat shackled to change. You will be involved in it, caught in it, you will see nothing else. And you will often easily, unbeknownst to yourself, identify yourself as that which is changing. Because it's very, very common, if not deeply rooted in habit and conditioning, to identify with something. So the liberation, of the screen might initially appear as identification with the screen, which is what I'm saying when you believe you are awareness. I am awareness. Just see. Very simple. Just see. The thought, I am awareness, that's what it is. You can't prove it to be anything else. See for yourself, the thought, I am awareness, arises in awareness. The hand moves in awareness. The words appear in awareness. It's really that simple. And the other point I've been making over the last few weeks is that the things that appear, the movie, are inseparable from awareness. So subtle, right? What happens? Even if you were looking at the screen, the movie didn't start yet, you're looking at the screen, you see it clearly, the movie starts, what happens? The screen disappears into the movie. You're not looking at the screen anymore because it's disappeared, it's dissolved, it's merged with the movie. That's exactly what happens. Only thing is, it happens for many of us unconsciously. We don't see that happening. We didn't see it in its original happening. We don't see it in many cases now. That's why I'm speaking to it, so that we might see it. When we see that, we begin to rest into that. It's not so much a meditation or a practice, it's a way of life. It doesn't make you ineffective or inactive at all. It can make you even more active. It can bring more energy. You can still meditate. You can do formal meditation. You can do qigong. You can move your energy around. You can open your chakras. You can eat tofu. You can eat steak. You can have sprouts. You can fast. You can express your sexuality. You can not express your sexuality. If you take drugs, you might confuse the clarity that's emerging, if you're not careful. If you indulge this way or that way, you might confuse the clarity that's emerging. I'm pointing at the emergence of the clarity that is, you might say, a flavor or texture of awareness. Clarity is not awareness. Awareness is what sees clarity. Concentration is not awareness. Concentration is what awareness sees. It's lovely to feel concentrated if you're working on something and not feel distracted. What sees that? What sees that? What's seeing everything? It's the same thing all the time. What's seeing everything? It's very simple. I use one word, awareness. So you smile a little bit, it may be the smile of recognition. Sometimes the smile of recognition, Thich Nhat Hanh used to call it the inner smile. When human beings wake up to these things, sometimes they smile in a way, it doesn't even make it through to their lips and their mouth. It's an inner smile, it's almost like the heart starts to smile. Ah, it's this simple, yes, it's right here. If I want to drag myself over coals, I can. But I don't need to. Another way to put it, it's the end of struggling. Doesn't mean struggle goes away completely forever, but it falls away tangibly and significantly enough that it's realized it's not needed. And the other piece that comes is when struggle arises again, it doesn't have the same significance, it doesn't have the same meaning, there's not so much conflict with it. It becomes interesting if struggle's there. It becomes interesting if fear arises again. It becomes interesting if there's sadness or if there's loss. Wow, look at this. Another part of the movie. Huh. I don't even like this. Huh, that's interesting. Why is this happening again? Well, that's interesting too. I thought it was over this. That's interesting. I'm still afraid of dying. Oh, that's interesting. I don't like it when the body hurts. Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. What sees interest? Awareness. the more and more there's a resting into this awareness is the nature of what you are. Whatever is going on the movie, whatever's on the screen, becomes that much more interesting. Guess what? Because the movie is playing itself. And part of that movie is you think you're the director of the movie. That's called a movie inside the movie. I'm the producer, you know, I'm this, I'm that, and some people must put themselves as the star. I'm the star. Or the, you know, what do you call it, supporting star, right? Or supporting actor, actress. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you think you are. What matters is what you actually see. And awareness is the light. Okay? So, it's completely dark in the room. Awareness sees the darkness because awareness is the light. And that light, because you can see in the dark, you just don't see in the same way you do with the light. Just try it sometime. Turn off all the lights. Keep the eyes open or closed and notice there's a kind of seeing that's going on. What is that seeing that's going on? It's awareness. It's very fascinating to see that. It uncomplicates things sometimes very fast. It loosens up the tendency to be meditating to arrive at a better place and a better time. Because that lands us over and over and over again in futility and disappointment and subtle disturbance. To be trying to meditate to become something different than you are. After a while, the best you can do with that kind of program is move the furniture around in your house. Now I ask you honestly, when you move the furniture around in your house, right? Or you change the furniture. You get a new chair because it's worn out. You get a new TV. You change the furniture. Ibby and Rich are going to change their kitchen soon. So they change the kitchen. Okay? You change it up. And you go, yeah, I like this. I even like this better. I'm glad I did this. The same thing that was seeing the kitchen before is the same thing that's seeing the kitchen now. You moved the kitchen around. You changed the cabinets, the furniture. Fine. That's all it is. Look at what didn't change in that program. When you begin to see that, your whole process of meditating or living can flower open into a space that's so much more at ease. Funny, because it's not so serious anymore. And your heart tends to just go, thank you. Thank you. To what? To life? To the truth? To awareness? Meanwhile, that's being seen by what? So your heart goes, ooh, thank you. Awareness sees that. And it's unstoppable. As I said before a couple of weeks ago, try to not be aware. Now what people do with that is they go, okay, what he's talking about is people who repress their experience. So you try to not be aware of your sadness. You try to not be aware of this or that. That's part of the movie you're trying to not be aware of. While you're trying to not be aware of that part of the movie, you're aware of something else. Called the effect of holding off that part of the movie. It's unstoppable. Watch it appear in the morning. Before the story appears in your mind, because it goes away when you sleep, the story of your life goes away when you go into deep sleep. Watch before the story appears. Before the mind picks up the thought, oh, I'm going to do this today, oh, it's Tuesday, oh, what time is it? Any of that stuff. Watch. Before any of that happens, awareness is just boom. It's like the first light that comes on. Boom. Now, some people say, what is that that sees awareness? This is a really ridiculous question, but I might as well try to answer it. What is that that sees awareness? And some teachers will teach a very confusing form of language here called, there's awareness of awareness. Awareness of awareness. Is that confusing, by the way? Awareness of awareness?
Totally.
Thank you. Not just partially, totally. I'd go in a much simpler direction with that. Why bother? Why bother? If it's clear that it's naturally peaceful, naturally harmonizing, naturally restful, to simply, if you will, recognize, never mind what recognizes, but just recognize awareness and the nature of it. And why go on trying to figure out anything more about it? I mean, do what you want. But what I'm speaking about, in some cases, is the end of seeking. It's the end of looking. It's the end of trying to figure anything out. Because you see what's behind it, beneath it, around it, and please, let me say this too, through it, and that's the movie, all the time. You see that which is hidden in change. It's called the open secret. It's the open secret because it's ever present, it's ever open, and yet it is a secret until it's not. And these words are pointing at how the secret can become free from its secretness.
You lost me there.
On that one?
Yeah.
I'm just using the words to point out how that aspect of the statement, it's the open secret. It's clear that it's open. Awareness is open. Okay, we don't have to talk about that anymore. Awareness by nature is open. It's the open secret in the sense that we don't recognize the significance, the profundity, the liberating nature of awareness until we do. And once we begin to see that, it's no longer a secret. So its secretness goes away. And that's very simple then. It's also, by the way, it's the end of holding any fixed views about yourself or about life. We were talking about last week the law of dependent origination, and Rich gave some very clear experiences and reflections on it. And part of what he said that stuck with me was the sense of how when this unfolding nature of change is not seen clearly, I, so to speak, keep projecting a sense of self into these processes of body, of feeling, even of grasping. I'm grasping, resisting. You know, I invest a self in places where there is no self. I project an ideation, a construction of me into things that isn't actually there. But what's even more fascinating, perhaps, is if that goes on, if that is recognized to be occurring as part of the nature of samsara, as part of the dream of being caught in the movie of life, is there anything else? Or must that just go on? Are we helpless? Is there nothing that can be done? Must we just roll and roll and roll and feel like dice that are rolling? Someone told me today, I'm moving to Las Vegas. And I thought, I hope it doesn't eat you up. This is the words that came out of my mouth. You know, it was playful, it was funny, we laughed about it. She's got a good job. It's a good thing, it sounds like. Vegas is as wonderful a place to wake up as Gainesville. There's no better place to wake up. There's no better time. There's no better experience to be having. People think, oh, everything's relaxed, I'm peaceful now, my mind is quiet, now I can see these things. No more, no less than when there's fear or confusion, contraction, difficulties. That which is not changing is present in all those aspects of change. And that's awareness. Is this making sense? Any place where it isn't? Any questions? Reflections? Concerns? Experiences that are related to this or not?
Okay, Paul, so you say that, I understand what you mean when you say that it doesn't matter where we wake up or what time it is or any of that. And yet, you know, we all struggle to place ourselves, you know, in a certain position in life. Mm. Whether it's occupation.